writers, you may think you know Serena Bowen, but have you seen her in action? Do you get her emails, every one of which is a tight little package of joy custom made for her readers? Or follow her on Instagram or TikTok as @SerenaBowen, where you can watch her show up with even more perfect little morsels of marketing and will almost certainly end up finding a book that you'll love. If you don't, you should. Get all the links at serenabowen.com. Go ahead, we'll wait.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey, listeners. KJ here, and this is #ImWriting, the weekly podcast about writing all the things. Pitches, proposals, fiction, nonfiction. We're the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done. And this week, we're the podcast about first pages. That's right. You might remember from the fall that we have launched a special series that we call Book Lab First Pages. Each month, and occasionally more often, but basically each month, we'll choose 2 first pages to review. A first page, for our purposes, is the first 350 words of your book. Fiction, nonfiction, or memoir. We read the page aloud on the podcast and discuss with one single thought in mind, and it is the most important one, would we keep reading? This week, in this episode, we're going to discuss a high-action page of science fiction fantasy and then a memoir. And in both, even though we know we told these writers to only give us 350 words, we want more. But not necessarily more words. What we want is more from these words, and we have ideas for how to make that happen. So, we're going to discuss the words of these generous, brave writers who have been generous enough to share them with all of us, and we're hopefully going to help them to make their first pages irresistible and use those examples to help you make your first page sing. But first, normally book labs are going to be for our paid supporters only, like the one we released back in December, which was discussing a novel with a great first line. Every expensive hotel has its own scent, and a memoir of parenting an adult child with an addiction. That one was paid supporters only. We've done a few others that everyone can listen to because we want to give you an idea of what it is that we want to do. The ability to submit a first page for consideration, and we're only going to choose the first pages that we think are going to give the most to all of our listeners. But the ability to submit is also for paid supporters only. So while I am here and taking a minute to introduce this episode to you, which we recorded separately, I also wanted to just give you a little bit of a rundown of what we're currently doing for supporters of the podcast, because kids, this is episode 443, and the four of us don't do this alone. We have an assistant, we have a producer, we have all of the amazing coaches who helped out with the blueprint this past winter. Well, it's still winter here, and hopefully we're going to do that again this summer. So that's the deal. Supporters of the podcast who are helping us to make this possible get the ability to do the blueprint alongside of us when we're doing it. They get monthly Ask Us Anythings, which those are super fun. Jessis was really great last time around, and if you are a paid supporter, you're probably going to want to pop in and take a look at what some of those questions are, because of course, if one of us can't answer the questions, we immediately go out and grab somebody else. So even though in theory, it's an Ask Us Anything with just one of us, you actually get all of us because we just can't stop ourselves. We're going to do the blueprint again this summer, and Jenny Nash and I are doing a new series that's pretty much weekly called Writing the Book. And what happened there is that Jenny and I both discovered that we had reached the end of a blueprint at exactly the same time. I'm starting to write a new novel. Jenny is working on a nonfiction project that's bigger than anything she's done before. And every week, we're checking in on how we're doing at turning those blueprints into actual manuscripts. We've recorded three of those so far. The first one is coming your way in a week. So I think you're going to want to be a paid subscriber so you can listen to those because they're super fun. They're also super personal. And that is one of the many, many reasons that they're not going to go out into the larger group. So this is my pitch to you. If you can, contribute a little bit to help us keep this podcast running, help us pay everybody that's involved, help us to not be working for free as much as we love this. That's just not anybody's idea of a great life choice. And also get more for yourself, more help with your writing, more access to us, more ability to come in, ask questions, join the chat, do the blueprint, listen to Jenny and I desperately write our books. Trust me, it's fun. We're a great club, and I hope you will join. All right, that's my pitch to you. And now, here we go with our Book Labs First Pages episode. I hope it's helpful. And if you are a paid supporter or you become one and you'd like to submit a first page for consideration for the Book Lab, the link to do that will be in the show notes. We have got two first pages for y'all today, and I am joined by my co-hosts Jenny Nash and Serena Bowen. And if you are listening to this, you know who we are because you have to be a subscriber, and that's how these things work. So if you'll forgive us, we're going to skip the part where you tell us where we tell you what our books are, although you should still buy them. Okay. Today we have we got two first pages. One is fiction, one is memoir. And just to remind everyone of the rules, we ask writers to send in the first 350 words of their manuscript. It can be any kind of manuscript, nonfiction, memoir, or fiction. The primary goal of this podcast is for us to say whether or not we would turn the page. And the reason that we think that is important is, well, obviously, it's important. People are going to come to your book cold in some cases. They're going to download the first chapter on Kindle. They're going to pick it up in a store and open to the first page without reading the blurb on the back of the book. It's just, and or even if they've read it, that first page has to be convincing. So that's what we do. And if you'd like to submit your own first page, there will be links for how to do that in the show notes. And also, before I get started, I just want to thank the writers who are brave enough to send us their first page. Whether, we can't do them all. We just can't. We have a lot. But whether we end up doing yours or not, we're grateful that you're trying. And hey, you can always send in another one. When we do it, we will notify you. But most of all, I want to say we are trying to be honest here, and we are choosing first pages that we think are going to be useful and helpful to the biggest number of writers out there. And also, we want to be useful and helpful to you, and blowing smoke up your ass is neither of those things. So we tend to be pretty honest here, but also, we just want to know how much we appreciate you and how much we understand that you have really put something out here that is precious, and that this is possibly hard. I don't know. I don't feel like I did this right. That was not a reflection of the first pages we're going to read today either. It's just true. This is hard. Thanks for doing it. Okay.
Good job. Sorry. Good job, KJ.
Thanks. Yeah. Good job babbling on for goodness knows how much time. All right. Oh, gosh. I get to read them, too. So we're just going to carry on with my dulcet tones in your ear. Here we go. So this is a fiction. The title has been redacted. I do not have pronouns for the author, so we're going to call them they. Smoke curls in the air, a black streak slicing through Gaia's blue sky like an open invitation. Even through the clusters of trees, the dark cloud is visible. The crest, no, birthmark on my right shoulder hums. I close my eyes and fist my hand as if I could shut down the energy already awakening in my veins. The mark doesn't need to tell me what I already know, that darkness is no fire, it's an invitation to an elemental fight. A deadly one to accept, I tell my crest, because these fights are as illegal as they are brutal. For 200 years since the Great War ended, elementals have been rounded up and slaughtered, just in case any Scotia has escaped, and these fights exist only to expose the hidden. I tear my eyes away from the warning and try to concentrate on gathering the sticks on the ground. My crest pulses, knowing that any one of the four elements I control would have made this task easier and faster. No matter, I'd rather take the rough route over dying any day. I secure the pile with twine and sling it over my shoulder, grunting at the impact that almost takes me to my knees. Grinding my teeth, I straighten and make my way towards home before I do something that I'd regret. "Don't look, don't look, don't look," I mutter over and over again, and curse when the crest on my right shoulder won't stop humming, reminding me that I have the right to release my energy if that were only possible. Living inside a mountain with Mother is a reminder of why I can't. Father's absence is another. "Darius!" Mother's voice flows into my mind so clearly that she might as well be right beside me instead of at home over a kilometer away. "Is something the matter?" "No." I clasp a hand over my right shoulder, as if she sensed the tingling. "Almost home." The shirt is barely up, yet my shirt sticks to me. The sun is barely up, yet my shirt sticks to me. Even the huge trees cannot block out the heat. And that's the end of the first page. I do want to say, before we even get into the discussion, there are some errors in this that I fixed. Mother says, "Is something a matter?" not "is something the matter." It says "awaking" instead of "awakening." There was one other one. And so I will say to the writer, you gotta fix those before you're submitting. That has nothing to do with the quality of the writing, but it's your obligation here not to. It also said "fist my and," not "fist my hand." So you gotta go through this for the typos and the small errors. Okay, but let's talk about the content. What do we think, Jenny?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me first. I was really struggling to figure out what was going on, where we were, what was happening, what is the energy, what is the crest, what is the situation. You know, so obviously there's some big world building happening here. And there wasn't an info dump per se, like the way we normally think of that, but I felt scrambling to figure out what was happening and why I should care. So I felt a little unsettled and would not have turned the page because of that.
Fine. Just blow it. Don't even wait for us to ask you the question.
Was I not supposed to say that?
It's okay. No. It's okay. So we know where you're coming from. I'm guessing you don't read in this genre.
I don't read a lot in this genre. It's true. I don't read a lot in this genre. Do you?
I do. I do read some. All right, Serena, what do you got?
I thought the most compelling part of it is the idea of a power that would make your life easier, but you're not allowed to use it. So that is kind of when I woke up to this piece. That doesn't mean I would ask the writer to start right with that, because I don't think that would work functionally. In fact, my thoughts for this writer are sort of twofold. One is, if you want to use that pulsing symbol on your shoulder that's actually trying to tell you something, you might actually take a breath on that description so that I feel more grounded in it. And I was a little confused, like, why are we picking up sticks? Is it for a fire if it's already so hot out? Like, what is the urgency of our present task? Mm-hmm. There might be some really efficient way to use the task of the morning to convey something about this person's life in a line, so that I just feel a little more grounded in the scene. But, and I do not read in this genre, so these are just thoughts that don't have anything to do with the market for fantasy. But then when we got to the idea of a power that would make everything easier, but I shouldn't and can't use it, or I'm allowed to, but I still won't, man, there must be some really important reason why. Like, that's pretty fascinating. And if that's going to be a big theme of your book, you know, that's awesome. But yeah, I struggled with place like Jenny mm-hmm. did. And I guess what I would like to say is you're the director of this film, so you need to tell me exactly what to look at. And The Smoke in the Sky does that well. But then after that point, the director's hand is a little less certain. And that was a problem for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the one thing we can assume that the reader of this first page would know is that they've picked up a fantasy book, because that's going to be obvious from everything. Like, no one's going to come to this without that. So my thoughts are, it's kind of funny. So I am in charge of compiling these. And when I put this in here in print, I read it in print in my head. And I was not wowed. But when I read it out loud, it worked a lot better. I'm not exactly sure why. I think the answer to that is that there are some clunkers here. A deadly one to accept, I tell my crest. It's a bit of a clunker of a line. It doesn't sound like something you would say to yourself. I think the word crest is weirdly formal, and somehow I don't know, something about that just didn't work for me. But when I read it out loud, I was able to move right on to these fights are as illegal as they are brutal, which is a lovely, like that's great. It's fast, it's short, it's descriptive. It tells me a lot about the word. It does a lot of work, that phrase. So that worked. It's funny that the parts of this that work really well are the storytelling parts. I'm kind of struggling to.
I mean, I liked some of the dialogue for sure. Like, and maybe that's what you were feeling when you read it out loud, KJ. Like the sentence, "Don't look, don't look, don't look." That, you know, that's nice, like internal talk from that character. Mm-hmm.
Although then it's followed by, I mutter over and over again. You don't need both of those things. just you don't. But then the next stuff is living inside of a mountain is a reminder how I can't. Father's absence is another. I thought that was good and intriguing. And these are things that make us wonder about what's going to happen next in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. I always like, you know, somebody asks, is something a matter? And the character says no, when clearly it is. Like that, there's some mm-hmm. interesting, there's some good stuff going on with the movement through the dialogue.
Yeah, and you were right that we get a lot of information here without it feeling like a dump. But I think Serena also has a point that some of it is not the right, and like we need some different information. I think we need to be established a little more, like, how old is this person? You know, I don't know, gender might be of interest or like it's some sort of gender is maybe not gender, but some sort of visual, something to hook to that I think we're missing.
Well, and that was part of my confusion.
Some identification with the character.
The idea that the person is living with mother, and the mother is obviously paying close attention. I did wonder, is this quite a young person? Is what
I assumed it was a teenager.
Yeah, is what my assumption was. Yeah, Serena, you're being so contemplative.
I was trying to balance. Which parts of this would feel very familiar to someone who reads a lot of fantasy? Mm-hmm. For example, being told that the elementals are rounded up to be killed every once in a while, like that. I don't read fantasy, so that like crumb of information is not something I usually come across, but I'm certain that it functions just fine in a fantasy novel opener. And what we're struggling with are placing ourselves in this scene.
Yeah.
so that we know what to care about. Like the camera sort of moves a whole lot in a very short amount of time, whereas we need it to focus a little harder on just a couple of things so we don't feel whiplashy.
And I think, too, even though there's definitely tension here, that this character is sort of being someone is trying to lure them into a battle. I think what I didn't get and what could easily be here in very small ways is is someone trying to lure them specifically or them as a general entity? And what do they want to do? It's clear what they're going to do, or at least what they think they're going to do. I don't know if they turn around on the next page. But what do they want? Like, that I think is the core of what we're missing, is it's pretty clear to me that they want something, but I think you got to get to that faster. Telling us what they want to do in this situation is going to tell us something more about them. So, any other thoughts? Well, Jenny, you already blew it. Serena, would you turn the page?
Not yet. I would like to see the next version before I'm ready to turn the page.
I would turn the page. I'm intrigued by the elementals. I'm intrigued by the parents. I would give this, if I were a reader, I would give this a couple more pages to see. But I would definitely like to feel like I was in more secure hands. So, writer, I hope that we've helped you with what kind of work that you have to do, but you're definitely, I think you're on the right track.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing in response to what you just said, KJ, because I don't read in this genre a lot. And if I do read in it, that's what I want. I want assuredness and authority and to know that it's going to be worth my while, that it's not going to be hard to figure out this world and this situation. That would be for me what is missing for sure. So I think this writer absolutely has the skill and ability to do that. It's clear that they can get there. So I hope that they do.
Me too. And I do want to remind the writer too that, you do have three people. I read some in the genre, but not much. So I'm probably just going to read the very, like, I've read Mistborn. I've read Sarah J. Maas. I read the most popular stuff. You might be writing for people that really read within genre, but you want to be able to reach the people that don't. That's, I think, always our goal. So I think that's what you're shooting for here. I also want to note that one thing this writer did that I really appreciated is they return. So the way that you submit a first page is to go into it's a Google form. And it says in there that if you would, you get an email that says you submitted, if you want to go back and change it, you can. And they actually did fairly, we don't get to everything. It takes some time. They went back in and replaced this with another first page. And I was like, that's great. I really appreciated that they were paying attention and that we could do this and not feel like, oh dear, this writer submitted this in September. And, maybe they've done so much revision since then that we're not going to be helpful. So just as a thought for all of you out there who might be submitting first pages, feel free to go back in and change what you submit. I will see that. So I think that's a fine way to do that. Okay, let's move on to our memoir. Okay, this one is called Conditioned. It is, she calls it a memoir plus, and the author is a woman, which you're going to get from the first line. Being a tech CEO is tough. Being a woman does not make it easier. I've tried attending executive women's events designed to support female leaders, but am left wanting. The information itself is wonderful. The speakers are filled with wisdom, inspiring me to overcome challenges we collectively face. Yet, as the last speaker carefully steps off her stage and the applause dies down, I begin chatting up the woman next to me. My eyes catch a subtle glance of her conference badge, and I do a quick calculation of whether the conversation is worth continuing. Can she help my career? Am I doing better than she is? It is the exact sizing up interaction I perform at every male-dominated tech conference, minus me silently guessing her age. Shouldn't I be acting differently here? You'd think so, but I do not. Rather than grasping the unique opportunity to give and receive support from other female leaders, I get secretly insecure and competitive. What a mistake. Although women are slowly making their way to higher levels of corporate America, most never reach the C-suite. In fact, recent studies have shown that the percentage of women that do make it there has moved backward, and I think I'm part of the problem. John Nash's game theory taught us that as long as the focus remains on individuals getting ahead versus progressing collectively, we limit our own talent pool by knocking each other out so only a few may rise to the top. I'm not going to play that game anymore. I want to explore what the world looks like when women in corporate America validate each other's experiences without fear of retribution or looking weak. For instance, what if, at those events, instead of promoting myself and convincing everyone I've got all my shit together, I stop the one-upmanship and share my insecurities, my struggles, perhaps my most recent experience with sexism? What if I actually start embracing being a woman instead of acting like a man? That's the end of the first page. Thoughts?
Well, I, you know, have been a woman in corporate America, you know, with the sharp elbows and trying to get ahead at some points in my life. And there is a lot of great material to be explored here. And lots of people who are interested in books about that. But I am not convinced that this is the right way to start this book. I would, because of her experience, which she so clearly has, I would have preferred to hear a story, like a framing story about a real moment at an event like that, that, you know, that sort of captures the storytelling art before we move into advice.
I'm going to ask a question, Serena. How is what she does not a story? I'm asking that for the listener.
Well, I can answer that. This is not specific. This is a general description of experience that perhaps they've had multiple times. She's had multiple times. It tries to be specific because it does, you know, as the last speaker carefully steps off her stage, but she's already blown the specificity by sort of classing this as one of a general group of women's events designed to support female leaders that have left. And also, she starts, I mean, now I'm just going to shift to some criticizing of what's actually here. She starts by saying that it's the executive women's events that leave her wanting, but then she moves into really she's the one that's leaving herself wanting. And I found that that's not where I thought we were going. I thought this was going to be like, this is what the conferences do wrong. And instead it's what she does wrong, which is way more compelling. But those first couple of lines kind of just left me cold. And confused. Not confused. That's not the right. It's just where she went was not what I expected. And that's not a good thing in a first page.
My thoughts on this, I agree with you where she says, I think I'm part of the problem. That's a great line. And above that, what a mistake. I mean, she's really putting in the title is conditioned. So she's putting herself in the space of, I've been conditioned to be part of the problem, and then we're going to get obviously how to, I guess, be conditioned in a different way. I really, really wanted this to be great because I love a book like this. And she calls it Memoir Plus, which for those who don't know means somebody's story with the addition of researched or cultural or elements that come from outside of your own story. So there's the possibility here of doing something really interesting, and we don't know, because this is page one, we don't know what that is. This could be the introduction to some really interestingly shaped book that perhaps focuses on things this person has done in their career or life, or maybe what other people she knows have done, or could get really nitty gritty about certain companies. We don't know what the book is going to be, but I really wish this first page had been better, because I want this to be great. And I feel like it has the possibility of great. So I guess I'm a little torn, because as a book coach, I would be like, oh, give this to me. Like, I can help you make this so good. But as a reader, I would have not felt that.
You know, as I was listening to you, it occurs to me, like, the problem with the framing opening of this is that it wasn't vulnerable at all. Like, you can start by putting yourself in a, I've done wrong, the problem is me, but then you have to really show me why and how you sort of psychologically came to make this common error, you know? Instead, it goes quickly to what if we did, and what if we. And I guess if you started in a more vulnerable place of explaining how this happens, then there would be more to build on there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the writer might say, well, I did, because I, you know, described myself doing the calculation of whether the conversation is worth continuing, et cetera. But she didn't, because that was general, because it wasn't specific up enough. And also, I think maybe because she didn't, she says, you know, what a mistake, as a result, I didn't get anything out of these conferences. But I think I need to feel that. Like, I need to see her not getting something. I need to see her feeling hurt or disappointed in herself. Yeah. And I'm with Jenny. This, I think a lean in book that acknowledges that not every woman is helping you lean in, or it sounds fantastic. This isn't a great first page of that. I mean, I hope that's what this is, but I think as a first page, yeah, it needs a specific story, and you need to bring us in. You need to tell us who you are, not in an info dump way, but in a relatable, help us feel like we want to be on this ride with you.
So we've all done that thing where you calculate the benefits of the next 1 minute at a conference. And that is,
yes.
Yeah, the problem is that's not actually a sin. Like, if you're in the 5 minutes between sessions and you also need a cup of coffee and you have to pee, like, it's not the end of the world to decide that this conversation at this moment isn't right for you. And so that's why, you know, maybe a more insightful, a more personal, a more vulnerable framing story could have gone a long way here.
Yeah. Like, for example, maybe you sized someone up by their name tag and found out later, and met them later and they were great, or you know, watched them. I don't know. That isn't even that great. Cause
I was coaching a writer quite recently who in fact wrote this scene. It wasn't on the first page of the book, but this is a therapist who had gone to a conference for therapists, but she was on the hunt for a publisher of a book she wanted to write. Not the book that I'm helping her on, but a previous book. And she literally sizes up. She knows who the publishers are. She studied them, which ones are going to be there. And she sizes up where in the audience they might be sitting and puts herself next to a book publisher on purpose. And so she's done that calculating, very calculating thing. And then the session that they're attending instantly turns to this incredibly personal, very vulnerable moment where you have to turn to the person next to you and do a thing that she really does not want to do with the person she's, right? You guys are already dying. It's so good. And they go through this exercise and she's just dying. And at the end of it, the guy literally says to her, you should write a book on that. Like, it's such a great moment because you go, your expectations, you know, you're like, oh, you're cringing. Like, she's really being so calculated. And how is this going to go? And then it's like, oh, this is going to go so badly. And then it goes, you know, actually how she wanted to go. That's kind of the specificity of what is missing in this story. And that's the reason why I asked you, Serena, when you said, tell a story, I could see the writer saying, but wait, I did, right? I did tell a story. And we're all saying, well, yes, but it feels like a aggregate or a,
It's a
summary.
Yeah. And it needs to be, and it doesn't, it maybe it's not a specific story from a conference. You know, it sounds like that this writer has a lot of stories about being a woman in a male dominated business and doing that thing I think that we're all familiar with where you're like, well, I'm the cool woman. I'm not the problem. I'm going to be cool. You can make that bad joke. You can, you know, say that thing about the younger person's legs and I am cool with it. Like, fine, take me to a strip club, which happened to a friend of mine. I'm cool. I don't care. And, you know, that didn't help anyone. I'll bet this writer has a ton of stories like that. And we want to hear them so that we know, so that we get excited about the final lines of this first page are great. You know, what if I stop the one-upmanship and share my insecurities, my most recent experience with sexism, what if I actually start embracing being a woman instead of acting like a man? That's good. That's what this is about. You know, those are the stories this person wants to tell. I think we as a reader need to be excited about the idea that you're going to do that. And even on this first page, we need to see you not living up to that particular hope.
I do want to also mention one other thing for this writer, which is the title. The title is Conditioned, which in combination with this first page, I find a little confusing because it doesn't sound like it's a book about how we become conditioned to act in this way. If she's already summarizing that and wrapping that up on page one, I don't think it's not going to be a history of how we got here or why this is so. So I'm a little confused about what the conditioned is going to, it almost feels like it should be unconditioned or deconditioned or a new condition or something. So I would look at the title, you know, and maybe we're just totally getting wrong what this book is actually about, in which case that's another problem. But I would look at the title as well.
All right. So there's the question. Serena, would you turn the page?
At this point, no.
Jenny?
No, and it makes me really sad because I really want this to succeed.
I wouldn't either. And I think I just require to put myself in the hands of someone who's writing a memoir that is then supposed to, you know, that I hope will help me. I'm going to require a more assured voice. And we're just not quite there yet. We're not quite there yet, but we have faith. Anyone who can get to the point of being a CEO can probably find, you know, can probably pull this off. So, I think this is here. I think this person has the chops and the ability and the desire. They didn't hit it. So, all right. Well, that's our book labs episode. That was two first pages. Again, thank you so much to the writers for putting it out there.
Yes, very
much. We really appreciate it. We hope we've been helpful, and we hope this has been helpful to all of the listeners as well. If you would like to submit your own first page, you must be a supporter of the podcast, which you probably are if you're listening to this. And the link to do that will absolutely be in the show notes, and you can also always find it at amwritingpodcast.com. All right. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I think we still use our sign-off here, so I will go ahead and say, until next time, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Save. Pause. Stop.
Thank you.